And welcome to another episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the podcast where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I'm Patrick, and I'm back, as always, with my co-host, Allison with an I.
Hey, y'all.
And Allison with a Y.
Hello.
And we are here today to discuss my pick, Clown. Clown is a 2014 movie that follows the gruesome events that transpire after a realtor named Kent finds an old clown costume in the basement of a house he's selling. Kent puts the suit on to entertain his son and his son's friends at his kid's birthday party. But after the party, he finds that the clown wig, nose, and suit all seem to be stuck to his body. Kent contacts the former owner of the house, Herbert Carlson, who's played by Peter Stormare, and he reveals that the suit is actually made of the skin of an Icelandic demon named the Cloyne, who is also the inspiration for clowns in general. Carlson warns that Kent is transforming into the Cloyne, a process that can only be stopped by Kent's death or by the Cloyne killing and eating five children. As the Cloyne overrides Kent's personality and his appetite for children grows, he must figure out how to send out the clown. Yes, I'm proud of that.
Oh, brother.
we have a fabled history with clowns here on Every Horror Movie on Netflix. Longtime listeners will remember the unforgettable appearance of Egyptian Joker in The Blue Whale. So we'll see if Clown can live up to that. But as I said last episode, I picked this just because it had been, I'd seen it, I feel like, on Netflix and just around for a while, and I was just kind of fascinated by this sort of perverse, gross concept of a whole-ass clown costume being, for some reason, stuck to your body. And I was also fascinated by the fact that this is directed by John Watts, who did all three of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, which, frankly, could not be further in tone from this.
And produced by Eli Roth, who I was kind of excited to see what that meant for this movie, because I associate Eli Roth with a certain something.
Bullshit.
You know, yes, and like a certain aesthetic, a certain like campy, absurdist, but sometimes pulls it off. In my humble opinion.
He does occasionally. He does occasionally. I'm an Eli Roth hater, obviously. But he does occasionally pull out a win.
Yeah.
But yeah, he produced this and also shows up in it like super briefly at the very beginning as this like weird clown on TV named Frowny, who I thought was going to wind up, you know, I thought that this was going to come back in some way in like the third act where like Kent was going to go talk to Frowny the clown, Eli Roth. But no, this is like his only appearance in the whole movie. It's very strange. The camera like sort of fixates on him for a moment and then he's gone.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah.
I couldn't pick Eli Roth out of a fucking lineup. So fun fact, Patrick, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This movie was gruesome.
Yes.
And I thought about you, Allison, with Y, a lot during this movie.
I'm interested to me too.
I'm interested to see how you did with it, because this is the kind of movie that I know you, and this is not your bag.
Well, it was an interesting premise.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting premise.
And it's not your bag specifically, because this movie is all about not only killing, but eating small children.
Yeah.
A lot of kid killing going on.
A lot of kid killing, and some of which was very, I mean, all conceptually upsetting. But yeah, it was, you know, if you're going to kill a kid in a movie, don't show it or don't get gory with it. And I feel like it really broke that rule.
Or like do it for a reason.
Or do it for a reason. I understand like with the lore behind this and like why they did that, but like maybe just don't make that movie. I don't know.
Or like do it with a different tone or something. Yeah. I don't know. Like this might work better for me. And I'm sorry, this is going to be one of those episodes where I come out the gate swinging, but it's going to be almost impossible for me to conceal. I'm just going to say my contempt for this movie. But I could almost have gotten down with this if it had any like sense of humor, if there was some irony to this, or if it, I don't know, like if it felt, I guess, outrageous in some kind of a fun way, like I could go, okay, so it's funny that he's killing and eating kids. Like there's a tonal way to, I think, pull this off, but this is like so grounded in like the grittiest fucking, like most depressing looking, oddly realistic portrayal of this absurd concept, and there's like nothing fun or funny about it, and so you're just kind of left with, okay, why am I watching like small children get stalked and like gruesomely murdered, not once but repeatedly?
Right. It's like, also we've seen it, you know. Yeah. Like do we need another film about a worse film about, yeah, a clown stalking and eating children because it's some kind of demon?
I absolutely thought about it watching this, because
me too.
At first I was like, you know, I was reacting really strongly negatively to this whole premise and its execution. And then I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, I love the book It. I like the various film adaptations of It. There's none that I love, but it's about a clown eating kids. Like, why don't I have a problem with that? And it's because it's doing it for a fucking reason. There are characters you actually care about. There are, mm-hmm, kids whose personalities you're invested in, which is something you don't fucking get in this movie,
right.
Who are trying to defeat the clown. The clown fucking actually represents something. The story is actually about something. And this just, you know, it had that, like, human centipede kind of vibe to me, where it's just bleak, bleak, disgusting, nasty shit that just felt completely unpleasant to me to wallow around in for an hour and 40 minutes. Sorry.
It felt so much longer than it was, because it was, yeah, such a bleak fucking slog, yeah, to get through.
Yeah.
Because I went into it being like, oh, hour 40, great, easy. And then, yeah, I kept being like, how much fucking longer do I have? Like, surely it has to be close to the end. And I'm like, there's still 25 goddamn minutes? What the hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allison, by the way, how do you feel about It?
I love It. Okay. I was a big fan of the made for TV Tim Curry version.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on that, one of my early horror experiences, mm-hmm, and it absolutely traumatized me, but I loved it so much.
Good shit. That movie, that adaptation is good shit.
Love that adaptation. I will fight on behalf of that adaptation.
It's flawed. It's still limited by like made for TV budget, but I think, yeah, it does honestly pretty much the best it could have done with what it was working with.
Right. I never read the book, so I don't know, you know, what was left out or anything like that. All I know was it was very impactful and very spooky, and obviously Tim Curry was just absolutely iconic.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about It a lot during this movie. Like, I was like, but I will say it didn't feel like an It ripoff to me. I just more put it in the category of my brain, like, oh, another clown that eats kids. Like, yeah, this is a thing.
Yeah, yeah, it didn't feel thing. Like a ripoff, but it was just like, I feel like they needed to just like do something different with the story for it to work.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they could have done anything. They could have done anything to make the cure anything, really. Yeah.
And I didn't fine. Have to be kids. Yeah, I'm fine with the concept of this guy puts on this, you know, this clown costume, slowly morphs into a murderous clown. I'm like, That's kind of an interesting, unique plot. I like that. So like at the beginning of this, I was like, oh, okay. This is one from the standpoint of it being like terrifying, watching yourself morph and not having any control over your own body. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Super scary. But then once you bring the whole like, well, the cure is you either have to decapitate yourself or eat kids. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, the premise was what drew me in. And I think, you know, there's certainly elements of the premise that work really well. The early scenes, especially. I mean, you know, I love body horror. And this is, you know, a weird kind of unique form of body horror that there's just fucking hair that's stuck to your head that is not your hair. And you can't pull it off. There's a fucking rubber nose on your nose that, like, someone pulls it off with, you know, like a medical forceps, I guess. Maybe that might not be quite the right term.
But like tongs?
Tongs, yeah. and like takes a chunk of his actual nose off with it. And of course, just the basic concept of like he tries to cut this costume off himself and it doesn't come off. Like, you know, that's all good stuff, you know? Horrifying.
Yeah, I agree. I was totally bought in to the like lore of it all, and 100% felt the same way. Like, and then watching him slowly realize that he couldn't get it off, and then him bringing his wife into the fold, who's a nurse, and she also, or no, she's a dental hygienist or something. Mm-hmm. She also can't get it off. That was genuinely scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think if we, I don't even know if it's possible to like take away the violence against children and look at the movie from that standpoint, because that's really something I attempted to do. I thought it was super original, super gory, but like realistic body horror, right? Like it wasn't like blood squirting out of his arm when he tried to cut the suit off of him. It was very much like, oh shit, like, I don't know.
Like how your arm would probably actually bleed if you accidentally like slit your wrist, which is essentially what he does while trying to cut something off of you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just like, there's just so little else to hang your hat on besides the killing kids and the clown costume stuck to a dude. Because like this character, Kent, is such a nothing of a character to begin with. And he only becomes less of a character because the coin starts to take over his personality.
Yeah, he's just such a everyman suburban dad.
Yeah.
He's a square. Yeah, total square.
Yeah.
And there was nothing wrong with that. Like, I guess because he was just kind of like this sort of, he's just a real estate dad, you know? He's just trying to be a good realtor. Trying
oh,
to
no,
take
is
care
this a real
family.
Estate thriller?
Real estate thriller. Nah, unfortunately, not.
No, no.
Our favorite genre.
I mean, but it kind of is because, like, a house that he's selling plays a pivotal role in all this. So it kind of is, actually. I didn't think of that until just now. It's kind of funny.
But I liked that this happened to, like, just an everyman character. Because I think I think maybe a lot of audience members who are more of that like that type of person could probably read themselves into it.
Sure.
You know, because he was otherwise just
unremarkable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, there are people like that.
He's just a guy trying to fix his kid's birthday party.
Yeah, he's trying to be a good dad.
Happens to find a clown suit, which is exactly the costume they're looking for in a house that he just happens to be in and happens to be selling.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, we didn't mention in the synopsis, he does this because the clown at his kid's birthday party has failed to show up and he's at the house he's selling. And lo and behold, what the fuck's in the basement but a clown uniform? And the most disgusting clown uniform you've ever fucking seen.
I like pretty that you're nasty. Calling it a uniform.
Clown costume. It's like bleached out colors. The nose is like barely red. It's practically black. The hair is like dyed in rainbow colors, but they also look really gross and faded out. And it's just nasty. All these kids should have run screaming the moment they saw him in this.
Absolutely. One thing I did, okay, I do have to point out something that I did kind of like about it. It very small element was as like the transformation was happening, he was like coughing up basically like colored, rainbow colored glitter almost or whatever. Like
mucus.
Mucus with like rainbow colored glitter basically in it. Like it was, that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a clever note.
With the bones of the people that he was eating because he couldn't digest them. I think, I'm going to say, I think that the transformation of Kent into Cloyne was brilliant. I think it was very subtle. I think it was absolutely terrifying. And like, it didn't to me seem cheesy or tacky. Like his teeth started to get really sharp, much like it, you know, the character It. His skin started to like lose its pallor where it wasn't like oil makeup anymore. He was just like turning white. He had that like bandage on his nose, which was just as scary to me as like the red clown nose. And especially when there was like blood coming through it, it was like that kind of red bulbous nose again. And then the clown started, the clown suit started to meld with his body. And he had like a six pack at one point with this clown suit on to indicate that like there's no distinction now between the costume and his skin. But I thought that was very well done. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah. And his feet grow to like kind of low key, well, not low key, maybe medium key mimic, you know, like big clown shoes, but also. And I mean, here's a place where I'll say I think they walked the tightrope in the right direction. Like, it's not just like, LOL, he has clown shoes now. Right. It's like legitimately horrifying and disgusting. I'm with you. I like the design, the conception of this transformation by, you know, the costume and makeup team was very well done. And especially by the end, you know, he's full demon and he's pretty fucking scary.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Yeah.
I agree. I think the makeup work they did on this, the transformation, the design of the clown, I think that might be for me, the strongest element of the film. The transformation itself was unsettling. And then like, you know, once he was like fully transformed into Cloyne, that was horrifying. Like that's horrifying. The reason why kids are scared of clowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about him having the most devoted, doting wife of all time? That fucking woman stood by for the whole horror show that was his transformation and just desperately, desperately wanted to help him.
All I can say is not me.
Could never be me.
No.
If I started transforming into a clown, you would just desert me.
If you started seeming like you wanted to eat people, probably. Once that started happening, I would be like, I'm out. Yeah. I'm out of 5,000. I love you, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she walks into that motel room and there's fully just like a skeleton that's got some meat left on its bones that is the size of a child. Like, she knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
She wanted those commission checks.
Yeah.
And like, taking him back to her home where their kid is, like their kid is gonna be at some point. Like, oh my god, not me.
No, her performance stood out to me because she was both very ridiculously devoted, but then also kind of a badass bitch. Like, she comes through a couple of times where you're like, okay, like, yeah, good job. You ran and got a weapon. First of all, good job.
Yeah.
You're not just like a total dumb female character trope that is like running in heels and doesn't grab anything to defend yourself with.
Yeah. But she also kind of like is a little personalityless as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beyond the like doting, devoted wife, she didn't have her own thing going on at all. Yeah. And mom. Like mom to a grade schooler.
Yeah. I mean, she has some agency. She makes a few good calls. She also comes insanely close to making a fucking awful call that we'll discuss in the spoiler room. But, you know, sure. Props for them giving that character some... yeah, I don't know. Again, I guess just some agency and a few good choices, but there's not a lot else to the character otherwise.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
How did you guys feel about this whole like Cloyne concept?
Like the kind of like folklore behind it?
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought that was interesting. Yeah, definitely one of the more interesting parts of the movie.
I will say I was really delighted to see that actor who played Herbert Carlson.
Oh, love Peter Stormare.
Was he in the original Fargo?
Sure was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to cheat. I want to look him up, but I don't want to cheat. And I think that's where I originally know him from. But that guy is fucking great.
Yeah. He's just great at playing those sleepy-eyed fucks who it seems like there's something a little off with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this case there was. But I think I appreciated the way he delivered the lore behind this and, you know, was spooky enough, scary enough, weird, offbeat enough kind of guy that you're like, well, are you here to help? Are you hurt? Like, what? But ultimately, like, it was perfectly delivered by him, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, had anybody else, any other character in that movie tried to deliver that, it would have felt not right.
Yeah, he works well in this and he delivers that exposition well. there was just some, at least some elements of the lore that were hard for me to swallow. Just the name Cloyne is so fucking funny and stupid to me. It's like, okay, let's make it. The name still be Clown, but just like shift a letter like ahead to two letters from W to Y, put an E on the end of it to make it a little European.
Yeah.
That I just found sort of silly. And I don't know, there was the idea that this costume is actually the original demon skin. I don't know. And this is where like the content almost like verges into where I was saying that I think this might have worked better if it had a little bit of a sense of humor to it. And this is one of those moments where I think if this was played differently, it'd kind of be funny to me.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's supposed to be funny, or at the very least, it did not play that way to me. And I was just like, oh, so this one demon was the inspiration for all clowns throughout history? Like, Joker is the descendant of Cloyne. Egyptian Joker is the descendant of the Cloyne. Like that, I don't know. That just felt silly to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it almost felt like plausible folklore. It's not. Yeah. It's not based in any actual folklore.
Yeah.
But I was watching it kind of being like, did they actually like pull from, because what, where was it supposed to be from, like Sweden or like
Iceland? Yeah, Iceland.
Okay, yeah. So northern Europe. Yeah, it felt plausible enough to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
The book was creepy, you know, like mm-hmm. I like looking at a book like that, you know, it reminds me of like the book in Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't be more different, obviously, but you know, you get the classic trope of like, oh, here's the book with all the answers in it and the news articles and the pictures of the missing kids or whatever. And I don't know. I thought it was good enough. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
The story behind it.
What was the first scene in this that kind of like pushed y'all's buttons, where it like felt like it was going too far for the first time? For me, it was the scene where he buys two fucking circular saws from the hardware store, sets them up in a motel room, and then like sets up a chair so that he can just like fall backwards onto the saws and decapitate himself. And at this point, he's still pretty human. I don't think he's quite eaten any kids yet, but
no, he hasn't. But he's like having the urge to.
Right. And so he's like, all right, I need to just like nip this in the bud. And
he bit the kid's fingers at the camp.
Oh, that's right.
And then he ran away to this motel room because he was like, I'm broken.
Right. Right. So he hasn't quite killed any kids yet. And actually, and that's fine. Eating kids' fingers.
That's fine.
But anyways, what really threw me for a loop with this scene is that this like kid walks in on him and sees him like about to, I don't know. It was just too much. And like, this is one of those movies that makes me go, you know, I like horror because it's transgressive and it shows you shit that you feel like you're not supposed to see. But this is just one of those where, I don't know, it just felt too nasty and mean-spirited and unpleasant. And that just pushed me too far. But anyways, what was the first point where you were like, okay, this is going a little too far?
That was it for me.
Yeah.
Well, because they show the kid's death. Like, that's what really bothered me about that scene. Everything else was fine.
Is that the first one he actually eats?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you don't see that. It's, like, implied.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the kid, like...
Ugh.
He gets hit
with the blade of the...
Oh, the that's saw. Right.
Goes
that's
right through the kid's chest and kills him. And, like, back, that yeah. was... That was so fucked up. And like my jaw was like my open. Like
right.
I was like, what the fuck did they just show me? And I was like, is this really going to be the rest of this fucking movie?
Yeah, because he like falls wrong. He botches the fall, and then one of the saw blades gets broken and like ricochets into the kid, stabbing and killing the kid. And it's so funny that I had forgotten about that part. The part of the scene that was just like, this is going too far, was frankly just this kid walking in on him about to like commit suicide in this gruesome Rube Goldbergian sort of way. I was just like, why? Why do I need to see this? And then I forgot that it went right into that, which is also awful.
Yeah. I think the scene before that where he shoots himself in through the mouth in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
And it's made, there's some levity, right? Because what comes out the back of his head instead of brain matter is this goopy, rainbow, goopy, sparkly shit that Allison with a Y mentioned earlier. But
it looks like somebody left like a carton of Superman ice cream out in the sun for a year.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And that was meant to bring the tone up a little or change the tone a little bit, but like they didn't even cut away when he pulled the trigger. That bothered me.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, oh shit, you know, like that was too much. You know, you don't often see scenes like that in even the worst horror movies, even the most gruesome horror movies, which this was very gruesome. I'm going to go ahead and say it again. This movie was gory as fuck. But yeah, and then once that the next scene happens where he's trying to cut his own head off, I thought that is terrible. That is absolutely terrible. And you know, you like have a little empathy for him still because he's trying his best to like get rid of the curse and he knows the only way is to be decapitated. And it's like he's trying to decapitate himself. And that's terrible. Like you're like, I feel so bad for you that you're willing to go to these lengths. And of course you're too scared to go through with it. But yeah, then it just goes way, way, way left after that.
So fucking dark.
Yeah, very, very dark. And I mean, and again, here's where I like, I kind of want to compare it to Eli Roth's other stuff, which as I said earlier, I'm not much of a fan of. But he will do this like super edgy, transgressive shit. But then he'll throw some comedy in there that's usually terrible and sometimes incredibly racist and offensive as, what is that fucking movie? Cabin Fever proves. We had a discussion about that many moons ago. But, and I don't know, it's again, I don't even know what I'm defending or advocating for here because I fucking hate when Eli does that in his movies too. The horror is, the humor is usually awful, but I don't know, it does like cut it somehow, you know, it kind of dilutes some of the really nasty shit. I don't know. This was just a slog through a fucking rainbow colored tub of vomit.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, at no point did I feel like the rainbow goop offset the bleakness of this movie. Like, I didn't laugh one time. Like, there wasn't a laugh to be found in me.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird one. It's one of those ones where it's like, not to quote the name of a different and probably much better podcast, but how did this get made? Or like, why did this get made? I don't know. It's just such, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It seemed pretty low budget too. Like, especially at the beginning when they're at the birthday party and mom is like getting party things ready and she's talking to her friend. She tells her she's pregnant. It wasn't, you know, visually like stunning by any means.
It looks like shit.
It does look like shit. Yeah.
At least half the time.
Yeah. God, they blew their budget on the cloin transformation.
Yeah.
On the makeup artist.
Yeah. Which, you know.
And probably renting out a fucking Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a pivotal scene that takes place at Chuck E. Cheese, which frankly, I was shocked that they showed the logo.
I was too.
Was it actually a Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah.
I thought it was. I totally missed that. I was just like.
Oh, yeah. You see the logo. I mean, it's reflected, so it's backwards. And I wondered if there's maybe some legality that helps them get around. But I don't know. You'd almost think that's a lawsuit waiting to happen here.
In the first scene where mom's talking to her friend, she said, you should have just taken him to Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, yeah. So it was re-referenced.
Maybe this film was sponsored by Chuck E. Cheese.
That's so fucked
I've never seen such an odd placement of a real life like attraction since we saw Jaws 3 and SeaWorld factored prominently into that movie, like was the explicit setting of a movie where a shark eats a shit ton of people.
Yeah.
Except in that, like SeaWorld had to have actually signed off on that. And in this, I'm like, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that anybody had a conversation with Chuck, Mr. Cheese.
Right.
Mr. Cheese.
Charles E. Cheese.
Charles E. Cheese.
Well, what did you guys think of the acting? What did you think of Kent's acting? I actually think he did a great job. I think this actor who I've never heard of before, who I've never seen in anything, did a totally great job from this square, like we talked about, everyman, realtor, can-do dad, to this terrifyingly ferocious, bloodthirsty demon. I was very, very surprised by how well... I mean, he at so many times, he was so pathetic and like helpless with his stomach that was constantly gurgling because he was constantly hungry. And like, I don't know, I just really felt like kind of sold on that performance.
Mm. Yeah, it's a weird one because he seems like a real person in a way that could either be a skilled actor portraying an everyman or just an actual guy who doesn't know how to act very well and doesn't have much screen presence. I don't know. It's weird. It exists in a weird, like, nether region for me. Nether region. That was not what I meant to say. But it's funny, so I'll leave it in there. You probably get the idea.
Apparently, he's not even primarily an actor.
Oh, okay.
He's a realtor.
He's a clown.
He's a clown.
He designs guitars.
Whoa. Huh.
Yeah, he's like the CEO, president, and chief guitar designer at a brand called Taylor Guitars.
Oh, yeah.
And is, yeah, apparently...
Good guitars.
Created some award-winning guitar models, apparently. Huh.
So he's That's the bizarre. Second thing that you said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
I wonder how that even came to be.
That's fascinating. But he also apparently has some kind of role in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, he plays like Guy on Ferry. I looked that up. I don't think it's a speaking role, or if it is, he like says one thing.
So for a guy who primarily works in the field of like making guitars and running a guitar company,
great performance.
That's amazing. Way better performance than what I would have expected.
Yeah.
Well, I totally agree.
And that's where this like straddles this bizarre line between like what feels like super low budget indie and something, I don't know, at least a little higher caliber. I mean, it's just bizarre that Peter Stormare is in this. Not that he's, you know, Robert De Niro or something, but he's been in a lot of stuff. He's a semi-recognizable name. And it's, I don't know, just very odd that he's in this alongside a guy who makes guitars and is not an actor.
Yeah. Quick question, and you might not have the answer readily available, but I have not seen any of the three Tom Holland Spider-Man films, but where chronologically, like in time, does this movie fall within that franchise?
Oh, like,
the other?
So yeah, he made this before he got into the Spider-Man world. This was actually his first feature, and then he made a movie called Cop Car that stars Kevin Bacon, which I've actually heard is very, very good. Like this movie, I think Clown has kind of mixed reviews, but Cop Car I've heard is excellent. And from what I understand, that was like the movie that made Marvel go, oh, hey, want to direct a Spider-Man movie, as they've done with a bunch of like weird indie directors. Like they pick up these directors who make really idiosyncratic and excellent movies, and then they're like, here, make a, and I mean, I say this again as an MCU shill, but like, here, make a kind of generic, like, action comedy movie. But yes, this was very much pre-Spider-Man.
When was the first Tom Holland Spider-Man made?
2017.
Okay, so not too far.
No.
Like, I'm just thinking about this guy and like, is this the movie he wanted to make? And then he got launched into this other thing that he couldn't say no to. Like, what does it say about him? Right. Like, as a filmmaker.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say he has some affinity for horror because he also has a story credit and producer credit on Final Destination Bloodlines. That's his most recent project. And he's out of the Spider-Man game now, too. They're making a fourth one now, and he's officially done with that. So I don't know. You know, I don't know if he enjoyed the three gigantic paychecks he probably got off Spider-Man and said, I'm done with that story, and now I'm going back to, you know, my roots of kind of weird, dark genre shit. I don't know. I haven't looked into him too much. But still a bizarre career trajectory, especially in 3 years to go from making this movie again with guitar maker dude as your lead to making three movies in like the biggest fucking franchise in the world. Like,
it's insane. Super weird.
Yeah. How do you even wrap your head around that as a filmmaker? I have no idea.
Yeah, that's kind of fascinating to me, like his trajectory.
Yeah.
Should we review this thing?
I think we should, because we have raged enough about the killing of children and the, Allison with a Y, how about you kick us off today? Would you view, cue, or screw the cloyne?
I have to give it a screw it, which, like, I'm almost even more angry at it because there were things about this that I liked. I really loved the setup. I thought it was such a unique concept. There were a lot of things that worked, but ultimately it was just too fucking bleak and dark and filled with children being horribly murdered that I can't, I don't know. It just, it like makes me angry. 'Cause like, I want this film to work, but it needs to take it in such a different direction for it to work. And I'm angry at it almost. And that's why I have to give it a screw it, because it's like, it, you could have done better. You could have done so much better. Like the premise was there, you know, you had a lot going for you and you just had to just like make it as dark as humanly possible in such an unpleasant way. So yeah, screw it. What do you give it?
I'm going to shock you both with this one. I'm a fucking view it.
What?
I am. I'm a view it.
Whoa.
I feel like bad saying that because I'm not a psychopath. Just hear me out, everybody. I really was intrigued by this movie. I thought it was super original. I could not look away. I think the kid killing stuff obviously is a huge deterrent. This is not something that I would recommend to my mild, medium salsa friends. This is a hot salsa for sure. And this is a very specific type of like horror friend that I would recommend this to. But I think it really took me by surprise. I was not expecting to like find anything redeeming about it. The Rotten Tomatoes score wasn't good. And I just kept being like, what is this? And I'm super intrigued by it. I think maybe the whole parallel stuff bugged me a little more than anything, just because it's like, well, we've already done that. But like I said, I was able to put this in a category of like, okay, so clowns eat kids. That's just what they do. That's their lifeblood. And I was able to get around it in my head that way, but I fucking liked it. I'm sorry. I almost Amazing. Chickened out. I almost just chickened out and said cue it, but I'm like, no, that's not how I feel. And
I stand by how you feel.
Yeah. I'm not into kid killing, but it was a movie and I thought it was really different. I don't know. I thought that whoever guitar owner actor was surprisingly good. I don't know. I fucking liked it.
Well, I mean, this is in keeping with the tarot reading that Allison with a Y did last time. Wasn't there something in the reading about like hot takes, hard opinions, something like that?
Yeah, there was something in there about like opinionated, strong-willed.
Yeah.
It was the King card, right? The King of Swords.
King of Swords.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to stand out from the group right now and not feel like a total scumbag and say that as a movie, I appreciated it. I thought it was different, and that's sometimes all I'm looking for, you know?
Fair. It was different.
It was different, for sure. Well, based on that reaction of from you, Patrick, I'm dying to know what you thought. View it, cue it, or screw it.
Screw it with prejudice. Screw it. Fuck it. Damn it. I fucking hated this movie. John Watts, I absolutely love your Spider-Man movies. All three of them go hard as hell. But this fucking sucked. Also, I still really want to watch Cop Car. I want to watch his second movie. I'm very curious about that. But this fucking sucked. It was just completely unpleasant to watch. And I don't even remember the last time I have checked the runtime on a movie so many times, this many times during a movie, and I swear that like time started collapsing in upon itself, or frankly, not even collapsing, the opposite of that. It was expanding out into the universe, like an hour and 40 minutes became 4 hours or something in the last half hour of this movie. And especially as it got towards the end, it was just like, no, there's going to be no relief from this bleakness. I can tell. It's very clear by the end of the movie, and I was correct about that. And just an unpleasant experience, top to bottom. The only thing I can give it credit for is what we already discussed about kind of the design of the clown itself and the way that progressed over the course of the movie. Good work makeup, good work costume department. Otherwise, damn it to hell. I hate myself for putting myself through this.
You hate yourself for picking that movie for us?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, anyways,
go to our website. Spoiler Chuck E.
Cheese? Yes, spoiler Chuck E. Cheese. Yes.
Hell yeah.
But before we go eat our spoiler pizza, I'll remind you to visit our website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. You can find a list of every episode we've ever done on there, as well as a link to our merch store where you can get shirts and apparel and other things with Amon art that I designed on them. We'd also love for you to come hang out with us on social media.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, YouTube at AmonCast, EHMONCast, and TikTok at Amon Podcast. And you can also check the show notes to find our Discord link. Come hang out with us on there. Chat with us about what we've been watching. Tell us about what you've been watching. Come use our new Mike Flanagan emoji since we're all Fanagans around yes. there.
And we would love if you would review us anywhere you listen to your podcasts. We'll take any reviews. Please don't call the police on me. I'm not a psychopath that kills kids. I just like horror movies. That's why I'm here. Yeah, please do. We appreciate all the feedback.
Yeah, don't let Allison with an eye's love of violence against children color your review of the
Fuck
show.
You.
All right, let's head on out to Spoiler Chuck E. Cheese. We will see you right there in a minute. Bring your circular saw to cut the pizza. All right, we are at Spoiler Chuck E. Cheese, and you know, I'm trying to even think what other references to make, because I was a sheltered child. I've never been to a Chuck E. Cheese. What are we doing at Chuck E. Cheese besides eating pizza? Spoiler pizza.
We're watching the animatronic band play.
Yeah.
We're going in the kind of like the tubular system.
I don't actually remember the Chuck E. Cheese I took my daughter to having that.
I don't know. I used to go to a similar place called Major Magic's that I think was very specific Major to Southeast Magics. Michigan, and also a place called, I think it was Caesarland. It was a Little Caesars.
I've heard of that.
Play place. Caesarland. Yes. Yeah. And they were like, I went to all these kind of places as a kid because I'd spend a lot of time with my grandparents and they, you know, needed to entertain my sisters and I. And so we'd go to all of them. And
did yours have the tunnels, the hamster tunnels?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Hamster tunnels. That was Caesarland especially had like a huge one. You could get lost in them. It was cool.
I took my daughter to a different thing that was primarily like tunnels and climbing walls and ropes courses and things like that. But I distinctly do not remember the Chuck E. Cheese I took her to, having that. So it was like video games and like, you know, like, what's the ball, the game with the ball that you roll?
Ski ball.
Oh, ski ball. Yeah, things like that. But this scene, this Chuck E. Cheese wouldn't have worked without the hamster tunnels.
No.
Yeah, seriously.
Gross.
Well, yeah, so we wind up at a Chuck E. Cheese.
So we don't have a ton of things to even really spoil, I guess, except so third act, Kent's wife teams up with Carlson, who has had possession of the suit at one point in his life and seemingly knows the only ways to get it off, which we mentioned already. But it's revealed that Carlson had a brother who was an oncologist for little kids and terminally sick cancer patient children, found this suit and wanted to put it to good use before he sold it to like some fair or like some carnival circus, I guess, and put the suit on to entertain these kids, realized he couldn't get it off, and then must have happened upon this cursed book that came with the suit that said he had to feed it 5 children, and presumably he did and was able to get the suit off.
It comes with an instruction manual. You have to appreciate that.
Yeah, and was able to get the suit off. So now Kent's wife is teamed up with Carlson, and they end up at this Chuck E. Cheese, where Kent is wreaking havoc, and he's now more cloying than he is Kent.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Big cloying energy. I mean, like, there are a couple of moments in the Chuck E. Cheese, just sort of staging-wise, that I thought they used the setting. You know, the hamster tunnels, as you call them, Like, you know, there's one moment where a kid's in the tunnel and then just gets something, drags him down the tunnel. And this is one of the least explicit scenes in the movie, which is funny because, like, there's still streaks of blood behind the kid as he gets pulled away. But you don't, like, see him getting
devoured
or attacked in the way you see a lot of other kids in the movie. And that was kind of cool, you know? That was an interesting use of the setting, I guess. I appreciated that.
Yeah, but then, like, an entire arm comes sliding down the slide.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's when, like, the entire Chuck E. Cheese gets cued to fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cops come because clearly there's a guy dressed up as a clown, all the moms are saying, as they're rushing their kids out, and he's murdering kids, and it all goes to hell. We did skip a part that I thought was kind of funny, where when Kent is still more Kent than Cloyne, and he's chained up in his house, and his son comes down and tells him he's been bullied. That he, like, then goes, and one of the kids that he kills is his son's bully. And I'm not saying for him, but I'm saying that kid was a little fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the least upsetting.
The most justified of the child killings.
Yeah. The most justified of the child killings. But I think by the time Chuck E. Cheese happens, he's killed 4 kids, right? Like, so he's almost out of the woods.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He gets 4, and he's going for his own son next. And the wife, and this is what I referred to before about her making an absolutely awful decision. Yeah. I mean, okay, whatever. You're trying to save your own child, and you think that to save a child, you have to sacrifice another child. And that's what she does. She, like, tricks this girl who's at the Chuck E. Cheese into getting into her car, taking her back to the house, right?
Taking her home, so she tells her, yeah.
Right. And at the very last minute, she does have a change of heart and lets the girl go. But that was, I don't know, that was just such an uncomfortable
That was very fucked up.
Well, so instead of taking her home, she takes her to their favorite spot, her and her husband, Kent, who's now Cloyne's favorite spot, so she can sacrifice her, and she locks her out of her van.
Yeah.
And the little girl's like, oh, I'm scared. I want my mom. That was heart-wrenching.
Yeah, it just goes way too far.
It does.
I mean, frankly, you could have, because the character's instinct in that moment does makes sense to some degree because she wants to save her kid. But you can get her to the same decision that any human would make of, okay, I'm not going to actually kill another kid because that's fundamentally what she's trying to do to save my kid. You could get to that decision without it going as far as it does.
Yeah.
Like, you could just, you know, show her looking a little too long at a kid at Chuck E. Cheese without going through this whole, like, talking, the, you know, lying to the kid, mm-hmm. tricking her into the van, locking her out of the van before you finally had the change of heart. I don't know. It just went way too far.
I agree.
To well, a point where, again, like, a character who I sort of kind of liked, I was just like, I don't know if I like you anymore. And there's not a lot of, there's nobody else I like in this movie to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except maybe their kid who's just like a, you know.
A kid.
Innocent little kid who's not even acting, like, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how about the last, how about the last attempt that Cloyne makes to get a kid? We have to talk about that, which is to, he's gone full Cloyne at this point. They're back at their house and he mm-hmm. attempts to take, rip out her unborn child from her uterus.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Which then she's like, fuck this. I no longer want my husband back. I mean, how could you even take him back? This man is wanted for the most heinous crimes.
Right.
Everybody knows it was him. Her dad is like, what are you doing?
And seems like fundamentally completely gone at this point. Like, there's none of his personality coming out of this thing left because he's just Cloyne.
Because he's just
He's full Cloyne. He's gone full Cloyne, as you just said.
Yeah, and I think
you
once he tries,
full Cloyne.
Never,
you
ever.
Never go full Cloyne.
Man, I was really like at so many points. I was like, okay, he's going to get out of this somehow. He's going to get out of this, and then how are they going to explain X, Y, and Z? He's going to be wanted for murder, but are they going to? What's going to happen? But it doesn't happen. Once he tries to rip the baby out of her uterus, she's like, absolutely fucking not. And then she
a
really
rips
odd choice of weaponry.
Oh, yeah, what is the weapon? Because the main part. Oh, yeah, because the main part that I remember is just like she like half does the job and then finishes it with her bare hands. Just like rips his fucking head off with her bare hands.
Which was kind of cool.
That was kind of cool because it was implied that his head wasn't fully decapitated. He still had his brain stem or whatever. But yeah, she like smashed his head off with a giant sledgehammer, which I was like, that wouldn't be my first choice to decapitate someone, but you got the job done, I guess.
You know, if it's what you have to work with.
And then, like, the Cloyne face starts dissolving into more rotten Superman ice cream, and you can see Kent's, like, normal face underneath, you know, showing that he was still sort of alive and perhaps well inside there before his wife ripped his fucking head off.
Yikes.
Which is also just too much.
It's too depressing. So I want to believe he's totally gone.
Yeah. He's gone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's dead for sure. Like, I didn't need that last reminder that, like, he's still in there and has been the victim of this awful thing that, like,
he had
was
no
not his fault
over.
Whatsoever. Yeah.
It wasn't anything he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that final shot didn't, like, rouse the empathy that it was intended to for me, but I really did empathize with him for much of the movie just because it felt so authentic, like... Obviously not the storyline. There's no practicality in it, but just the way it was acted, I was just like, man, this guy's acting his fucking ass off. And it turns out he wasn't. I don't know. Or was he? Who knows? However, is Clown gone? Because
no,
did the thing. It did the thing at the end.
Did the thing that we gave Taro credit for not doing, which is shows the clown suit in a fucking police evidence lockup at the end, which, like, we saw this shit dissolve off the body.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how does this even still exist? Yeah. But it's still there.
You know, the way in my mind, I was like, okay, it's going into the evidence locker, which is where it's going to be forever. So no one's ever going to, like, I'm like, it's never going to be seen again. That's how I wrap my head around it.
Until, like, the clown fails to show up at some fucking cop's birthday party.
Yeah.
And he rifles around in the evidence room.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. I don't need a clown too. That one would not be getting a view it from me. I can guarantee it. This was sheerly for the novelty of it.
Wait, so, okay. I feel like I have been unnecessarily negatively coloring the retelling of this entire, like, climax. How did you respond to it, as the view it among us? How did this ending sit with you?
I mean, I think when we got the reveal of his totally transformed face and body, I was like, fuck yeah.
That looks sick.
That looks sick. And he's scary. Yeah. And he's And the wife realizes, you know, I gave her some credit for how devoted she had been and loyal to the cause. At some point, I was just like, you're an idiot. You know, even her dad was like, you're going to be an accomplice for this. And then he was like, I'll help you clean up the blood. Like, he loved his goddamn daughter so much. But it's like, at that point, she knew he was gone. I don't know. I liked it. I think the weirdest thing I found issue with was that she used a sledgehammer. I'm like, that's not even a cutting tool. But okay. Yeah. It was really fucked up that his son kind of watched. And she was like, by then she was just like, turn around, whatever his name was, don't watch. And he just like stood there and watched her kill what used to be his dad. I mean, the movie was fucked up. Don't get me wrong, but it was a fucked up flavor that I'm like, okay, I can fuck with that.
Well, only God can judge you. No, only just kidding. God bless you. I'm glad that you had a good time with this. I'm glad that we had some dynamic to the discussion, because it's fucking boring when we all have the exact same opinion.
Yeah, I knew I was going to shock you guys, but...
But it made for a good podcast.
Made for a good story, didn't it?
Do we have anything else to say about Clown before we get the fuck out of Chuck E. Cheese?
Fuck, get me out of this world. Oh, poor Y. The whole time I was thinking about you being like, they are going to fucking hate this movie.
And you were right.
I was right. I knew it. Called it.
Well, what are we doing next time? I think it's Horror Ketchup.
Horror Ketchup.
Yeah.
Yay.
So we got some stuff to talk about. I know that you watched a shit ton of horror movies on your way to or from Italy.
To and from, yep.
To and from. I've been watching some shit. Why? Is going to study up.
I'll figure it out.
But we'll be talking about all the horror that we've been watching, reading, and otherwise experiencing next episode. Until then, visit the website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. Check us out on the socials, Amoncast, Ehmoncast, on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Blue Sky, and Amon Podcast, Ehmon Podcast, on TikTok. Join our Discord community at the link in the show notes. We'd love to see you out there and hear what you thought about Clown.
Leave us a review anywhere you get your podcast. We would love to hear from you.
And God bless you.
And God bless.
I'll put a God bless on anything.
Father Patrick. Thank you, Father Patrick.
I need to get out of here before I go full cloyne.
Oh, God.
For every horror movie on Netflix, I'm Patrick.
I'm Allison with a Y.
I'm Allison with an I.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.